When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're back for part two of the countdown of our top 10 interior defensive line prospects for in this year's NFL draft. I'm doing that with Gabe Ferguson. Gabe, how you doing?
Hey, Ken. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Okay. Always a pleasure to talk football with you. As you know, Gabe, part one, just a roller coaster of guys that were either not on lists and on list, or guys who we had at like 10 and 4. So go back and take a listen to that. Some very good opinion, I think, on both sides here about why players were liked and less liked. I think Gabe, I'd let him explain it, but I think he's more into pass rush characteristics.
Yeah, that's definitely when I have a doubt about one player or another player, and if there's an opportunity to have more upside in the pass rush department, I'm always going to lean that way, because I think it's just harder to find that in the NFL in the defensive tackle, and it's a more valuable ability when you can be that presence in the interior to get a pass rush. It really makes a big difference on the field. So that's what I'm looking for, especially, on the lower tier end where you're looking at a mid-round pick trying to get upside. For me, that means pass rush. So that's kind of where I was focusing my attention.
Very difficult to disagree with that at all. I think there also were some big guys who had good pass rush potential in this draft. I had some of them on my list. McKinley Jackson was on my list, not on yours. And try to think. I had Chris Jenkins and Rook Ororo much higher on the list than you did, but both on your list, of course. And I think it's interesting listening. Hopefully you go back and listen, because we've talked about those players already. We still have some other ones to talk about. But before we do that, and we're going to cut off at my number 7 pick, let's talk about some honorable mentions who didn't make your list maybe, but just name one guy you kind of like. If I have anything to say about him, I will. And maybe where he would represent value for the Ravens, if you want to talk about that.
So the guy who was immediately outside of my top 10 was Mason Smith out of LSU, who is a player that to me is like the quintessential like upside play. He has incredible size, length, really good flashes of high-end play, but just inconsistency in his game. So I think he's a younger guy too. Let me check on him real quick. He's a
while you're doing that. But yeah, I loved him too, and he was my number 12 guy. So Leonard, okay. Taylor, who you kind of convinced me I probably had left out of the top 10 improperly and largely due to age. Mason Smith was my number 12 guy. So love him in the fifth round if the Ravens could get him there. Where would you like him?
Yeah, I think fifth round would be a good spot for him. And I think at that point, the upside with the size and the ability to kind of do the things he does at that size in terms of movement skills, I think it'll be hard to pass up.
And my feeling about it is if that's not the player you get in the fifth round, don't worry about it. There'll be another value pick you can. So if you say, well, Mason Smith's going to be going early in the fourth round, well, you might be right. But a lot of players drop. And all you need is one good value, high value drop for the Ravens to pounce on him as a BPA. If you get fall in love with one guy, then you're being a need drafter. And we don't really want to do that. That's not the Ravens way. I think it's, and certainly it would not be how I'd be looking to try and extract value from the draft. Let me give another guy I like. I like Tyler Davis of Clemson, fifth round pick, sixth round pick, probably I'd be okay with either. And there aren't too many guys that I definitely want to waste a draft pick on, but Davis is one of them. The Ravens have a history of working with some smaller guys who are hand fighters like Kelly Gregg. He's going to get drafted for sure because of 29 bench reps. The Ravens won't get him as a UDFA because of that, even though his arms are shorter, and that 29 bench reps is nothing like the 29 from Chris Jenkins or from, who's the other guy who had 29? Rook Arororo.
Yeah. I think, you know, he was someone who was a little bit lower on, but I can see, you know, there being some value there. I think Rook was the guy that drew my attention, you know, watching Clemson. So it's hard to, when you have two guys play the similar position and one of them is just like more impactful, it's hard to kind of like see the other person, I think, sometimes. Sure. But I think later in the draft, sixth round pick, but I think there's pretty decent chance that he's someone who can plug in and be, you know, like a rotational piece for you. I like that. One more guy, if I could.
Sure.
An honorable mention. Because I think he's kind of maybe someone who could also be valued later on. Christian Boyd, out of Northern Iowa. I don't know if you looked at him at all, but he's kind of that like diet Tavondre Sweat type player who's like a big space eater who can be a giant like run defender, but also give a little bit of upside in the pass rush. I'm not sure where he's going to go in the draft. I think he might actually go higher than I would expect. But I was really quite high on him, and he was just outside. He was right there at the 11-12 for me between Mason Smith.
He concerns me a little bit, but he's definitely on my honorable mention list. But it concerns me a little bit coming from Northern Iowa. We've had a lot of developmental players come from there. I'm trying to remember if it was North Dakota State or Northern Iowa that Trevor Penning came from. But Northern Iowa definitely has had some players over the years who have been project picks who have not necessarily worked out. I'm thinking of the other guy is Spencer Brown, who went to the Bills mm-hmm. in the end. But it was a left tackle I kind of liked and, you know, had good length and was a guy who projected probably to play at left tackle or nowhere in the NFL. Christian Boyd is definitely a very interesting project. They turned 24 in February. Did 38 bench reps at his pro day. So he's got that true grown man strength, but guess what? He's a grown man. So he should have that grown man strength. So, but he's exceptional, to be fair. 31.25-inch arms for 38 bench reps. Now, there's no arm length you can have where 38 bench reps is bad, but I'm just going to say his total is not as good as Vori's. It's not as good, perhaps, as some of the 34-inch guys turning in 29 reps. It probably is. But also, he's significantly older. So that's something to look at. Played 5 years at UNI. I have no idea why, with the transfer portal being what it is today, he wouldn't move to a Power 5 school. Did he not want to leave a girl behind? Was he on track for his degree and his credits weren't going to transfer? I'd have a hard time believing that was really it. But anyway, whatever the case, it's a little surprising he'd stay at a place like that. He will be expected to contribute quickly based on his age. So that's actually, I think, a good thing. I'd like him for the Ravens in either the sixth or the seventh round. I think he'll get drafted before that, honestly. He's certainly got his negatives, but the lump of clay is there. You don't have as much time to work with it as you have with a 22-year-old player.
Yep, definitely agree. And that's why he was kind of outside looking in for me. But I think, you know, he is someone I think who could probably be, you know, at the worst, like a backup nose tackle right off the bat. So I thought he was interesting.
All right, I'll name one more guy, and he's my last, and that's Mekhi Wingo of LSU, 6'0", 284, 32-inch arms, 485, 25 bench reps. Here's the big thing. He doesn't turn 20. He turns 21 on 4/17. We're recording this on 4/9, folks. It's 8 days until this guy turns 21. Okay, so that's the major factor to like about him. He is probably the smallest interior defensive lineman in the entire draft also, the youngest and the smallest. I'd say the 25 bench reps is unimpressive for his size and length. He did play more than 60% pass snaps this last year for LSU. His pass rush results were not good enough for me to crack him into the top 10. Age would be the reason you take a chance on this guy a little later. He's definitely, his game is about his motor and how disruptive he can be as a penetrator. He's definitely not a two gap player at that kind of size, at that kind of length. So he's a guy you need to have the space on your line for a guy you can afford to have penetrate. That's real important because he's playing with other linemen. They're going to have to do part of this two gap job or part of the, you know, just be red lit, so to say, on some run snaps or just, you know, bullying on some run snaps because he's really a penetrator. So he's improved in his three seasons in college. One was those at Missouri and two at LSU. And I expect him to be drafted because of his production relative to youth. He's a guy, even though he's not on my list, I really wouldn't be upset if the Ravens drafted him in the fifth round. I think somebody else probably will get him about then because of productivity relative to age.
Yeah, I think so. He's someone who could really fall because of his size. Like he is very, very undersized for the position. And the productivity doesn't really make up for it. In my opinion, it wasn't that high. I mean, you watch him and you see someone who has, you know, upside, I think. But it's just going to be like a situational player for you. And could you have a roster spot for that? That's a question, I think. And that's why I didn't have him on my Ravens, even honorable mention, because I don't see him actually being someone who would make the roster.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. We'll jump back into the rankings then, or the countdown, if that's okay with you, and go to my number seven guy, who is a similar guy in terms of being a little undersized and very young. And that's Michael Hall of Ohio State. 6'3", 290. Can you confirm his age for me? But I believe he's not yet 21. Also, doesn't turn it until May, if I recall correctly.
I think he's one of the youngest people in the draft class.
Wow. Okay, 33.5-inch arms. Played rotation at Ohio State. 45% of his snaps are on run plays, which means he's playing less with the lead and more and in passing situations and more on early down plays. He's definitely an underneath stunt player when you look at him as a pass rush guy. Definitely generates some half man advantage there. Already has a little bit of polish as a pass rusher, which actually is a mild concern for me. That young, he's got a little bit of a bag of tricks as a pass rusher. Looked at the film versus Notre Dame in particular. That very nice swim move to get past the center. The center is actually getting tripped up by the left guard. I think that's Lundstrom for an RM -4. So it was a really nice play, but unfortunately, he really benefited from the left guard tripping up the center on the play. Played some three, some edge, and some one all in that game. So he was a guy definitely that Ohio State is moving around. We talked about this with several of these top guys. They're looking at what's going on with Chris Jones and with Justin Madubuike now in terms of them moving all over the line of scrimmage to be used in different places and to try and generate a matchup advantage. And Michael Hall did that at Ohio State. He got a free run of the quarterback for a quarterback hit. Basically, the Red Sea parted in terms of the tackle and guard, each kind of not taking responsibility for him. It was looked like he had a blown assignment by the right guard 75. That led to a pressure, and he shed the center to force another quarterback run, which it ended up being an S+2. Really nice play on 3rd and 18 that he made. So, you know, it's a lot of nice plays for one game is what I'll say about that from Michael Hall. So if you had any question about, oh, he's not involved enough, that's not the case. He's involved enough. He's a very good player. Run defense is not his strength. But, you know, again, I think he's another guy because of size who could be successful as a penetrator if you have other two gap players. And the Ravens, you know, certifiably have that with Pearson Urban available in a base defense. Say if they want to play him at three, rest Madubuike some snaps, it would kind of make some sense from my perspective. Normally, I'd say the Ravens could really benefit from a guy like Hall, and I'd have him even higher in my draft. But I didn't because I think their current set of interior pass rushers he'd be a luxury to just have one more of those who that's his primary thing. So I couldn't really put him up there, even though the Ravens are getting older and they need to reset some of that value. So it wouldn't surprise me if you had him a little higher than I did. And if you did, I would not bang you for it. But where did you have him?
Yeah, so this is another one where we had the players at the same position but swapped. Yep. I have him as three on my board. There's this plays from him where his quickness and his first step and his ability to win in the pass rush is just, it's pretty rare. He looks like someone who can come in to like an NFL team and be an immediate situational pass rusher and be an effective one at that. And we talked about his age. You know, he's 20 years old. He's not turning 21 until I think June. I think already, like you said, kind of a little bit polished in his ability to win as a pass rusher in terms of some of the moves he can do. There's probably only a couple of guys in this class who I feel better about in terms of where they are in terms of an overall ability to rush the passer, from like the ability to show different types of moves, to win with quickness, to win with speed, to win with power. His athletic profile, extremely impressive. He ran a 4.75 at his pro day. Wow. For someone who's, I think he weighed in at 299, 6'2.5", ran a 4.75, 33.5-inch arms. Just really the entire athletic package, the profile you want from that type of player. Just the way he moves is just really impressive. So I was a little bit hesitant to put him up that high because there's other players in that range who's like, oh, you know, they have more experience, they have, you know, a little bit more upside as a run defender. But I've kind of gone down that same path of I'm prioritizing the pass rush, and I think where you could potentially get him, I'm not sure. I think he might go another player who might get a little higher than expected. But if he's there in the second round, that's where I think you might even consider him, just because of all of the metrics that you look at. Pass rush win rate, Pro Football Focus has him at 18.3%.
That's outrageously good.
Kind of an absurdly good number for a pass rusher. It's hard not to kind of like what he's able to do. So that's my spiel. That's why I had him so high. And I think that there's a lot of upside with him. I understand the Ravens don't necessarily need somebody who come in there right away, but I think, you know, if you have him, maybe you move him out to defensive end a little bit. He has some of that scheme versatility, like we talked about with Brandon Dorlus. I think you can work with having a player like that with that athleticism, and you find ways to use him on the defensive line.
So just to be clear about that, the pass rush win rate will have other pass rush wins that do not result in pressure.
Yes.
So I go by pressure rate usually, and his was 12.7%. It's a meaningful percentage of that, but I actually say that's a lower than normal percentage of pass rush win rate that results in pressures. So there were guys that had a pressure rate up to about 16.5%. And how you get that is you take his total pressures, which were 29, divide that by 228. It was just the total pass rush snaps he had. And that's where I got to 12.7%. So okay. Anyway, I know it's a different metric. It's usually the one I calculate. By the way, if you're not doing this with PFF, their stuff is CSVable. So you can take it outside. You can work with it in a spreadsheet. You can compare 200, 300 players if you want to, and you can calculate the things they don't give you directly, like yards per target for cornerbacks or receivers, and get some of that useful information. You can figure out where the medians are with regard to this, but it's very easy to work with when you pull that information out of there. So I still find it probably the most useful single source in terms of it. And a lot of the numbers where there's varying things, like for missed tackles, you know, with different rates for different systems, Pro Football Reference is famously much less strict on missed tackles, and so they assign less of them. I just want one consistent source is all. I don't even care what it is. I just want one consistent definition being applied, and I think I get that from PFF, so I typically use their numbers. All right, so you had a much higher. Now, we're going to the top six right now. And as I'm counting it through, I think we might only have three players left to talk about, mm-hmm. which is interesting. But you're number six guy. And I think we had switched 10 and six guys. So your sixth guy was?
My sixth guy was Dwayne Carter.
Okay. I had him at 10. We go back to the first pod if you want to hear the difference of opinion on that. And it's not dissimilar at all from the 10 versus six, where I had six was T'Vondre Sweat of Texas, and you had him at number 10.
Yes.
Okay. The number five guy is a new one for me. Who's your number five guy?
So we talked about my number five was Brandon Dorlus.
Okay. And he was eighth on my list. Like him as a player, certainly would be very happy if the Ravens got him. The number five guy on my list, it's not that I think this guy is a bad player. I just think he's been tremendously overhyped draft so far, largely because of what happened at the combine. And that's Braden Fisk of FSU. And I see him drafted early in the second round. It seems like a tremendous overdraft to me in terms of where he might go. I think he's a second round player, but probably late second is where he belongs. 6'4", 292, 31 inch arms. Obviously that's one of his shortcomings. It's 478, 40. The bench of 26 for his arm length is not impressive. It's really just actually pretty poor. He turned 24 in January. So he's a grown man, at the combine with some guys who were as young as not yet 22. So, in fact, there's one who's not yet 21, right? There's still a 20-year-old who's turning 21 in May. So,
yeah, two guys here.
Two guys. Yeah. One guy's 8 days away. Yeah. So played 6 years of college ball. I know they talk about a high football IQ. I see a good get off. There's some natural penetration. Like a lot of the top 10, he's another guy who got moved around by Florida State a lot, trying to find opportunities for him to probe the offensive line from various points on the defense. And so that versatility has been one of the other kind of overhyped things about him. He's a pretty good defensive lineman. It's not like I don't like the guy. It's not like I wouldn't be happy if the Ravens got him in, say, round three. Be thrilled if the Ravens got him in round three, frankly. But I just don't love him like that. The cut-up of BC includes a pretty bad missed sack. He does frequently get double-teamed, despite the fact he gets moved around. That's a good thing. Other teams are really having to account for him. You got to give him points for that, even when he's not getting through, if he's getting double-teamed on a very regular basis. But look at the guard who's nearest to him and the ants in the pants he gets relative to a player like Fisk, or for that matter, a Ro-Ro-Ro or Chris Jenkins, or a lot of the other players we've talked about who had this characteristic going through of being a guy that other teams are very worried about. 15.3% career missed tackle rate, much too high. Really bad for a lineman. He's been over 10% for all five of his college seasons, so he's been consistently bad in that category. He has a solid rate of pressures, 12.5% career. We just got into a little bit of discussion there about 12.7 relative to 18, but 12.5 as a pressure rate is quite good, and that was one of the certain pluses about him. I think he's not worth a two for the Ravens. He could rotate as a pass rusher. I think he falls into their bargain range in round three. And I know there are people who probably fell in love with Braden Fisk at the combine because he got so much attention there. I look at him. I think there's a lot of hype and less substance, although I think I still like him enough to put him number five on my defensive line group.
I was pretty similar with you. I think all across everything you said, I have him at number four. I was a little nervous about having him at number four. I thought he might be better at potentially at five. Who was Brandon Dorlus for me? I think I like the versatility of Dorlus's game a little bit more. And for me, the two red flags with Fisk, you already discussed them, but it's the short arms. 31 inch arms is probably 2 to 3 inches shorter than a lot of the players we've talked about. And he's 6'5", so he's tall and long, but has short arms. So, maybe having that long torso might help him out a little bit to alleviate some of the length issues with his arms, but it's not ideal. And then the age, someone who's already 24. We've talked about players who are not even turning 21. He's 24 years old. He's already developed physically. He's had the chances to kind of develop his game.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And you know, I think he does have some ability. Obviously, we wouldn't be talking about him here. He has upside as a pass rusher. I like the way he moves. You know, you mentioned the combine, his on the field like movement skills, the drills that he was doing.
Yeah,
very impressive. He's a very fluid athlete. He moves very well laterally, very comfortable. I think you see that on the tape as well when, you know, he was working with the edge at Florida State, Jared Verse. You see them, you know, doing twists and stunts, and I think he can kind of fit into that type of defensive scheme and be a very good fit, type of things that the Ravens have liked to do. So I think he will be a fit. I think end of the second round would be kind of like, I'm not sure if I want him there. For me, third round would be the sweet spot. But there's definitely some upside. He has the pass rush juice. He's not a complete zero in the run defense. That's not really his strength either. So I like him, but I think that, you know, he's probably not a player that I see the Ravens going for. So if I was thinking about it more in a Ravens centric way, he might be even a little lower than I have him at four.
Yeah, fair enough. And I think, you know, he is the guy I think you could plug in on early downs as a three tech, give Madubuike a little bit of relief, but who does he ever push off the field on third down for the 24 Ravens? Now, admittedly, things change. Year to year, things change. Injuries can occur. Next year, they may cut Brandon Williams. They may, you know, Michael Pierce might be cut a year early because of injuries or things that are not working out all of a sudden because of age. And all of a sudden, you may really need a player like Fisk to take up a lot of snaps. But I think he just does not fit the Ravens all that well in terms of prioritizing what he does well as a defensive lineman in the context of a team that has a ton of needs with their free agency holes.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
Okay. I think we've named some of these other guys leading up to number two. So at number four, you had?
Yeah, so four, I had Braden Fisk.
Okay, and I had Chris Jenkins. So we talked about him on the first show. At number three, you had?
I had Michael Hall.
Michael Hall, and I had Rook Arororo. And at number two, we should have a new player.
All right. Indeed, we do. And my number two is Johnny Newton. Or I'm just going to call him Johnny because it's easier to say and pronounce. Out of Illinois, you know, really impressive three technique defensive tackle, very high pass rush upside, very active, quick off the ball. The size, I think, is a little bit under what you would ideally have, I think, from, you know, a defensive tackle, but he's not like undersized necessarily. 6'2", 295, that's okay. He's on the younger side, only 21. He'll be turning
22 sure in August.
August 22 in August. Yeah. So, but just the productivity as a pass rusher is impossible to ignore. It's very, very impressive. He really checks all the boxes as a pass rusher. He's got the quickness, the explosiveness, moves well. He's powerful with his hands, very advanced, I think, the way he uses his hands. He can make interior offensive linemen look silly at times. Just kind of like knocking them aside with ease. He's a violent player. That's something that, yeah, you know, we heard, you know, Zach Orr talk about in the offseason, someone who is going to, you know, take your lunch money. And that's something that I think is interesting attribute on this Ravens. I mean, he's very much in like that Roquan Smith kind of schoolyard bully kind of mold. So really like to see that about him. You know, from a run defense standpoint, I wouldn't say he's a negative. I wouldn't say it's really his strength. Definitely he's more of a pass rusher. I think, you know, there's times in run defense where he might not put as much effort. I think it might be an effort kind of thing. he does play a lot of snaps, you know, on a team that wasn't like loaded with defensive stars. You know, he's up there pushing the snaps compared to some of the other players who are more rotational. So that might be a part of that too. But overall, you know, I think he really is the complete package. He's one of two players in this class who have a first round grade on for a defensive tackle. I mean, if we're talking about the Ravens picking at 30 overall, that might be a little bit rich for me. But if for some reason they were to trade back and, you know, have an early second round pick, I think, and he's there, I would potentially want to pull the trigger just because of the upside you have with him. So overall, a player that's really fun to watch. I think he'll be a great fit in Baltimore. And it's, you know, if the Ravens needed a defensive tackle, I think I'd be a lot higher on him potentially.
Okay, he's my number one guy. And I'll start by saying if he was available at 30, I think the Ravens would really, I mean, they would have to have exactly the left tackle they want still on the board, you know, a Mims or a Suamataia or one of the other guys who has a pretty good chance to last to 30. Mims doesn't have a great chance. It would be a very rich pick to take him. And yet I think they'd have a hard time not doing it. If he lasted all the way to 30, I think he'll go in the top 15. In terms of what I'm seeing on film, absolute wrecking ball with the first step, very violent hands. First step is juicy, gets in gaps, turns shoulders, does the things you want. He hand fights at the top of the group as well. Very rare to have that combination of polish already in such a young player. He's quick enough to loop or play the under on stunts. He'll be a devastating under at the next level, particularly with the proper coaching and learning how to play more half man, which he does do some of right now. The thing that shows up on film for me more than anything else is the ability to use his free arm extremely well to make tackles. So he does a really good job of shedding blocks entirely. But even when he doesn't shed the block and the guy's inside, he could even be looking to get a holding penalty. If his right or left arm is free, that quarterback, that running back has a good chance to go down just to that or to be slowed up enough that somebody else can make the tackle. Made a great move on Mason Lunsford in the Maryland game. Lunsford, the left guard in the Maryland game. And that was impressive. Not exclusively a bull rusher like some interior defensive linemen. You definitely see good half man moves and a high motor in pursuit. It's like you're taking somebody's name in vain to say he's the Aaron Donald of this draft. But I'll just say he's the closest thing to Aaron Donald in this draft. He's absolutely the guy you want as a pass rusher from the inside in this. He only had a 10.7% pressure rate, which I think was held down because of attention around here, but the other linemen are all worried about his exact position on Illinois' line. And that's with another guy with Randolph in there who's pretty good also. Probably won't be drafted, but would be a guy I'd be really excited if the Ravens got as an undrafted guy. So that was kind of interesting. He probably needs a little bit of time in an NFL weight room. He didn't bench at the combine here. And I project he'll be the first interior defensive lineman off the board. If he somehow dropped to the Ravens at 30, they've got another Kyle Hamilton question on their hands.
Yeah, that's actually a really good comparison for considering what the Ravens needs and the quality of the player. That would be an interesting conundrum. And I tend to agree with you. I don't think he'll be there. I don't think he'll be the first defensive tackle off the board. I think we have one more player to talk about who I think might be there. But I think they both go in the first round. And I think they both likely go before the Ravens are on the clock.
And I would agree with that wholeheartedly. But who's your number one guy? Who is my number two guy?
Yeah, my number one guy is Byron Murphy. And, you know, to a certain extent, it's a little bit of picking nits between them because I think they're both very, very good players. They're both about the same age. They're both 21. They'll turn 22, I think, in a couple months. You know, Byron Murphy had, you know, the advantage of playing next to a Tavondre Sweat on a defensive line. So I think that might help him out a little bit. That's not something that Johnny Newton had. He's a little bit more, he looks more prototypical defensive tackle-y. I don't know if that's a word.
Like quarterback-y. You want to avoid those kind of terms.
Exactly. he, you know, when I saw that he he only measured in at 6'1". I was a little surprised. I thought he looked bigger than that on film. He moves really well. Just, I think the area that he has an advantage over Newton is that I think he's a better run defender. I think he's a very good run defender, and he's also a very productive pass rusher. So he really checks all the boxes there. The only thing he doesn't have is that elite size. You know, he's a little bit undersized, as I think is a theme generally for this entire draft class. I think the defensive tackles, they're a little bit under, like, kind of like prototypical. You don't have any of the kind of like freak show 6'5", 315 pound guys who run, like 4.7s. Like, that just doesn't exist in this draft class. So you're really looking for kind of the athleticism, the ability to kind of take on blocks, shed blocks, move, the ability to kind of just like move along the length of the line horizontally to penetrate, to get up the field. I think he has the whole package, and it's a really just impressive combination of everything. I think he carries himself well. I think he's probably a top 15 pick. He might drop a little bit further because of just other positions being a little bit more impactful potentially with the way this draft is kind of laying out. But if he's there in the first round, for the Ravens, I'd be shocked. So I think I would take him at 30. With Newton, I'd be a little bit more hesitant just because I think he's a little bit more pass rush specialist in his game. But I think both of them are very impactful players right away.
All right. Murphy's my number two guy, as we said. Okay. So he did bench, even though he won't be 22 until September. So that's terrific. 28 bench reps are okay for his arm length, which is 32 3/8, but it's not as good as the 29 reps at 34 inches, not even close. So, but then again, he's not a grown man yet. So, I look at that strength and I say, he's going to get stronger from this point. Okay. Couple things that I noticed stat wise, and then a couple film things. So first, the stat stuff. He's got a 16.5% pressure rate from a combination of nose and three tech. And it's really strange, but he's under 300 pounds and he plays the nose with Sweat playing the three, because that's how they thought they could get the best advantages for that group. I think Sweat benefited more from that relationship than Murphy did, but they both benefited. They both benefited from having two great interior players like that on the same Texas team. But that 16.5% pressure rate is outstanding. It would have a higher pass rush win rate than that we talked about. But there's a couple of things that come with that, and this is more from film, is he's really a big-time cleanup player. He controls the rush lane very well versus the guy who's blocking him. It's more like he ends up either being locked up or playing two gaps to control pass rush lanes while others get the initial pressure. Then he disengages and makes a tackle. And he's got a large number of those kind of finishes in his group. And I had a finish number for him here among these. Oh, I had it, and I've lost it on the page. If it comes back to me, I'll get it. But it was a high percentage of his total pressures ended up being quarterback hits or sacks relative to that total. He gets a fair amount of personal pressure as well, so I don't want to say he didn't get any of that. But Texas did not always hold up well behind him when he got the initial flush. If you look at some of his pressures where he drives the quarterback out of the pocket, the quarterback's getting a decent scramble out of it. I'd say if you look at the cut up that's out there versus Oklahoma, it's definitely not his best game, but it's always worth watching any game of all plays as opposed to watching highlight video. So I'd recommend that one. What else did I say about that? Okay, here's the other thing. Got kind of a high missed tackle rate, 18.5%. But he's still got a great total of defensive stops, 21 to 5 missed tackles. At that kind of ratio, I'd be happy if he had double the missed tackle rate and 42 defensive stops. It's not practical or reasonable, but you can certainly suffer through 5 missed tackles to get 21 defensive stops. And again, that median is about 11.8% for a defensive lineman. Keeps his feet well. Violent but unpolished as a hand blocker. I think there's growth there. So I'm really stating that as a positive. And as you mentioned earlier, I think it's a complete dream to think that the Ravens get him at number 30. And I think they've got a real question about what card they turn in if he's still there.
So, you know, we talked about both the players that we'd like at the top two. What is it that gives you what is it for you that Newton gives you like the edge over them, and how close are they in your estimation?
Close. I mean, they're both the clear top 15 guys. There's no doubt about that. I think I liked Newton a little bit more as the guy who was more like Aaron Donald in this draft and who's going to create more pass rush explosiveness, even though that's not been the case at Illinois. And, you know, he's playing in the Big Ten. He did play with a decent guy next to him, but it wasn't Tavondre Sweat. And he did not have as good a pressure rate. That's certainly true. I think I see more. And you know, this is potential for evaluator arrogance coming up with a statement I'm gonna make here. I think I see more in terms of the first step and the violence of his hands from Newton than I do from Murphy. And they're similar age, right? 22 in August for Newton, and Murphy is 22 in September. So very similar in terms of age. That's not the character. Both of them great value there, by the way. But yeah, I would admit it's close.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious. I would be happy with either one of them. I think first round pick, it's tough given the Ravens' other needs, but I think at that point in the draft, they're probably both value picks there. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Kyle Hamilton type situation. You have other things that you would like there, but if that's the best player by a wide margin, then that tends to be the Ravens' direction. I think when they've made mistakes in the draft, they have drafted more for need. Loading up on very talented players, especially in the trenches, I think is something that long-term is always going to benefit the team.
Right. You do have to be a little bit careful when the Ravens in particular, a very high percentage. Well, it's true of every team. You know, a high percentage of your value is in that very first pick. The Ravens do have some compensatory picks. They have, you know, 9 picks this year, so they've got a little bit more in terms of some flexibility maybe in the later rounds. But no matter how you slice it, that number 30 pick is a high percentage of the total value in the Ravens draft. So whatever they do with it, whether it's trade back or use it, they need to get value and they need to address needs with it as best they can. So, you know, sometimes that means dropping to a point where you're going to get value at a position of need. And I think there are some good intersection of need and value players at wide receiver and tackle at 30 who are going to be good. I almost hope they don't get disrupted by Newton or Murphy being available there, because it would just cause a lot of stomach acid, you know, without maybe it'd be still the correct move, but it would still cause a lot of stomach acid to have a guy picked who is a BPA on a team with so many needs.
Yeah. I think for me, especially if there's an offensive tackle that is sitting there, that's someone that you think is, you know, a good value of that position to go defensive, especially defensive tackle. I think that would be a little bit of a hard pill to swallow. But I could see it, you know, just being a player that's rated higher. It just depends on how the board falls. But it was a wide receiver. I mean, it would depend on the receiver, but I actually think I might even go defensive tackle over receiver, given depth of the receiver in this class. I think you can get quality players third, fourth round that can come in and contribute. And to me, I don't want to get too much on a tangent. I just don't think the Ravens need another round one wide receiver right now. They're going to need players at that position. But I think that they can find players who can be complementary based off of what other offensive weapons they have currently on the roster. So that's a position personally I'd rather see them wait a little bit, but you know, I know there's conflicting opinions about that.
We had what I think is a really great show on the wide receiver with James Ogden, at NFL Ogden. And he had some great thoughts. Our big difference of opinion is over Keon Coleman. He likes him a lot more than I do, but we had others too, that were small differences. Agree completely on the top three. So that wasn't an issue.
Yeah.
When you're talking about the guys who could be available at 30, there are quite a few, and it could be that moving down would be a great choice for the Ravens at that point. I guess let's just finish up by asking you this. What's the percentage chance you think the Ravens trade down? Okay, trade up, trade down, or take the pick at 30. Give me a percentage for each. And I'm going to make mine while you do that.
I'm going to say, let's start with trade up. I think it's very low, probably 5%.
Okay.
I kind of see the draft as being tiered. And I don't think the Ravens are going to get one of the top tier players at 30. So I think it kind of flattens out. And I don't see the need to move up where they're at. So I think it's going to be a low percent chance. Trade down, I would say, is a much higher percent. I would say probably 30, 35% chance they trade down.
Exactly the same numbers. I just want to say that exactly the same numbers. And I'm sure your reasoning is going to be just as good too. But go ahead.
Well, I think, we talked about two of the major positions, offensive tackle, wide receiver, I think cornerback too. I think you look at those three positions, I think it's kind of a number of players who fit in that range. It makes sense if you have, six, seven guys trade back, six, seven positions, maybe even 10 positions, you're likely still going to get one of them and you accrue some draft value. So that makes a lot of sense for me to trade back there. And normally I think the Ravens always explore that. It's just whether or not there's a trade available to them. Because I think when the trade is available and it makes sense, they like to do it.
Okay. All right. I literally exactly the same numbers, 5, 65, and 30. Was right down for, the three. Anyway, not really surprising. Gabe, always a pleasure talking football with you. It's a great discussion. Appreciate you taking as much time out of your evening as you did tonight to do this. And not only do I like these shows because I want to try and produce high quality content, but I like the shows just because I enjoy talking to the people about the draft that I've got on this year. There's just a great selection of people, and you really delivered the mail with this one in terms of giving us some high quality discussion of the IDL. Tell folks where they can talk football with you online or read any of your work or whatever it might be.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. This has been fun, and I likewise I really enjoy these conversations that we get to have. Draft is one of my favorite times of the year. So mostly I'm putting my thoughts out on Twitter. You can find me at Gabe Verghi. This is always exciting, the potential, all of the rumblings and the rumors, and I find it really interesting. And this is the time where you have the most optimism, going into the next year, especially, after all those fun day three picks. So I'm looking forward to talking a little bit about the draft. I'll be definitely being very active around the draft time. So, look me up on Twitter, and love to talk to anybody, talk about the players we talked about tonight or, any other position. I'd like to, have a conversation back and forth about it.
All right. Outstanding. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, hit me up. Topics are wide open for the rest of the offseason. If you want to do a recollections piece on one of the Ravens that was one of your favorites and maybe a favorite second tier player or role player that you really appreciated who they were, that's a great guy to talk about. Just maybe think of two or three really nice moments. It could be personal. It could be relative to the game. But however you want to discuss it, that's fine. Just DM me. They're always open on Twitter, and you can pick your player. And I'll set it aside, and we'll schedule it sometime for after the draft. But I'll be playing those until camp starts, roughly. So we'll have an opportunity to record here still for a couple of months. Gabe, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.